Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my great friend, as always, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin?
I am great.
I didn't ask you. How are you? I didn't ask you yet. No. You don't know that was the question I was going to ask you.
What were you going to ask me?
How are you?
I'm great.
Awesome. Good. You're my great friend, and you're great.
Yeah.
There we go. You're not going to ask me how I am?
Well, I was assuming that you were just going to reply with a feeling of your own. Do you need me to ask you? Do you need to be asked?
It's like a vampire, you know, how they can't be welcomed. They can't go into places unless they're welcomed in. I can't talk about myself unless someone, hey, how are you?
So you need some affirmation.
No, I need, I don't know if it's affirmation. Is that the right word for it?
No, it's not. I'm just messing with you.
I know, but what's the actual... So, like, if I were to talk about myself, I'm only going to talk about if someone asks.
I mean, it's just proper, I guess.
I'm not good at grammar. I was never a good student with grammar, even in
I'm kind of just making things up right now.
Yeah, anyway. But you're a good student. You're a good student. Kev, he's in grad school. He got straight A's. That's right. I want to shout out to Kev right now. Congrats on straight A's, man. Finishing the first semester of grad school.
And that's a part of the reason why, once again, we have been delayed in the episode recording, so we apologize for that. But now that the semester's over, maybe we'll actually have a normal cadence for a change. But how are you doing?
Before I say how I'm doing, should we put a disclaimer in every episode saying, sorry, we want to get more out, but our schedule just sucks? Because it seems like every beginning to every episode is, hey, sorry, or my bad, our bad. Like, we have a rough schedule. You know, it's different. Yes. But to answer your question, how I'm doing, I was sick a little bit this week, but I think it's because my body is trying to adjust, because I'm actually trying to go to bed earlier, which has been kind of a talking point among friend groups recently for me, because I normally go to bed at, I don't know, I would say after midnight, guaranteed every night for the last, since college. Like, that's just been my sleep schedule. But this week, I was turned off the TV, went and got in bed around 10 o'clock every night. And I think my body's like, what the heck are you doing? So I got a little sick, but I'm feeling a lot better. It seemed like the last podcast, I think I was also sick. I've been sick like six times in the last 5-6 months.
Yeah, I've been sick 3 or 4 times myself this winter.
Yeah. Don't come to the apartment. It's ground zero.
Well, also, I think you're trying to adjust to a change in your diet, too. You're trying all these different proteins to interject.
Yeah, I am trying to just have a lot more protein-based diet. Not a full-on carnivore diet, because I definitely still have some vegetables and fruit, but I have been eating straight steak, pork chops, chicken. It's great. I love it. I don't know why I wait. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit pricier, but I feel like it's worth the benefit of all, just self-esteem, too. Like, I have no idea why I waited so long to have steak just once or twice a night as a single guy. Like, why not? Yeah, I think it was like $12 for the steak or something like that, $10 at Wegmans. I also switched to Wegmans. I'm never going back to Walmart. Wegmans is just way better.
You should have made that switch a while ago.
I know. If anyone's shopping at Walmart, just go to Wegmans. All right, it's worth the price.
I mean, it's also.
But there's also good deals too. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say it's also the fact too that you could choose Walmart if you're in any other area, but the Walmart that's by us in King of Prussia is right across the street.
Correct.
From Wegmans.
Yeah. So my commute to go grocery shopping is the same, but the experience so far has been 3 billion times better. Yeah. And the prices of most of the stuff that I get is very similar, almost the same, if not cheaper. Like the yogurt that I get, the Greek yogurt, pretty much the same price. Mm. I think that one of the only things that's a little bit more expensive is some of like the condiments that I get, but that's it. But so far, it's great. So that's my life. Yeah. So to answer your question, how I'm doing. But this is a baseball podcast. They don't care about our life, do they?
I mean,
some of them do.
Some of them do.
Yeah.
We talk to them sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. I don't even know if, I mean, Nichols doesn't even listen to this anymore, I don't think.
No. I texted him a couple of days ago. He still hasn't responded to me.
Big surprise.
And now there's read receipts because of the new Apple update. So you could see when someone reads it, even if they're on an Android.
Yeah. Our friend Nichols, if you don't know him, well, some of you probably listening do, he's one of our closest friends. Mm-hmm. He is probably the worst texter I've ever experienced with, most of my friends, pretty good at responding. They'll get back to you in a couple hours, in a day. Nichols will, it'll take 2 to 3 days. It's 2 to 3 business days, but there's no, it's free shipping, but he just doesn't decide to reply. And then he's like, oh yeah, I opened it, didn't reply. Like, okay, just don't open it. If you can't have time to read it, just don't open it. That way you can actually open it. Just airing our grievances out at the podcast. Yeah. So we have a baseball podcast to record now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get down to it.
Yes.
So we are about 20 games into the regular season.
Yes.
And a decent amount has happened in the sense that there has been baseball games played. There's not really been a lot of history being made other than the game yesterday. We're recording this on Saturday, April 19th. But the game yesterday that you watched was ridiculous. I came in to the apartment and it was 11-10. I was like, whoa, that's an offensive scoring game. But why don't you explain what happened?
Yeah, so the Cubs and the Diamondbacks, which on the face of it doesn't sound like the most intriguing matchup in baseball. Let's say that. But it was a little bit back and forth, and then the Cubs managed to get a 7-1 lead going into the eighth inning of the game. They were Wrigley. Arizona put up 10 runs in the top of the eighth inning to make it 11-10.
Yeah.
And then Chicago comes back and scores 6 runs in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Yeah.
And it could have been more. I mean, you walked away for a little bit, but the Diamondbacks could have given them more runs. They were fumbling the ball. One of the balls went off the pitcher and ricocheted to third base.
Yeah.
They were lucky to escape out of that inning with, minimal quote unquote damage.
Yeah.
They blew a lead and it was a 13-11 final, I believe. Yeah.
It's one of those games where you're like, I would want to rewatch that game because of how crazy it was.
Well, more like the eighth inning.
The game in general. It's like, oh yeah. Like I saw someone on Twitter, it was getting roasted on Twitter where it was a 1-2 game in the fourth or fifth inning. And it was like, if you betted the over, you're an idiot or something like that. And it's on the images before history being made or something like that. So that was a really fun game.
Yes.
But there hasn't been a no-hitter yet. There hasn't been a perfect game. Almost a no-hitter. Hunter Green had 8.2 and 2/3 innings. But I don't even know if there's been a complete... Has there been a complete game yet?
Didn't Michael King pitch a complete game?
Yeah, he might have. Not surprising with the Padres doing really well so far. Yeah. But the only thing that I have that I need to talk about for what has happened is MLB... literally loving Ohtani too much. And it's happened twice now where they tweeted out basically a solo home run by Ohtani and it was all caps. And you would have thought that it was a late inning home run to tie the game. I think it was a home run to tie the game. There was a seventh or eighth inning home run to tie the game after the Dodgers had been down. It was the fourth inning to tie the game up. And it was all caps Ohtani tied the game. And Washington came at them and was who's their power hitter? Oh my gosh. I can't remember. I need to look up. I can't do this. I can't do this, people. I can't do it. He was in the trade. Washington Nationals.
Well, while he's typing that, I can interject with some news about my baseball team, being 13-7, winning 5 straight, even though...
James Wood! Continue, sorry.
Winning 5 straight, they're playing in Tampa right now, which is their strength training facility. It's a joke.
Yes.
But the Yankees are treading water okay right now. It's all about the starting pitching and how they're doing. And the offense has been carrying them significantly. They scored 114 runs, which I think leads baseball. Or maybe the Cubs have more.
But maybe after yesterday too.
Yeah. Maybe after the like they're scoring a lot of runs. Their starting pitching is still worrisome to me. Rodon, you don't know what you're going to get. He did pitch great yesterday. And they have Carrasco going today, so.
Cookie.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, and we'll get more into what else they've been doing this season, particularly with baseball equipment, but I'll let you get back to your point.
Yes, so MLB, just loving Ohtani too much. So James Wood hit a double or go-ahead RBI or something like that, and the Nationals was like, where's the all caps for the go-ahead RBI or something like that, MLB? And so MLB like reposted it, but they didn't tweet it out. They reposted what the Nationals said, and then later when the Nationals actually won the game, MLB felt called out, and they actually put an all caps like Nats win like thing on it. So MLB was like, everyone was like, yo, MLB, it's too much right now for Ohtani. And then this is what got me real good. So the other week, the Dodgers lost 16-0 to the Cubs. 16-0. The Dodgers had 6 hits. That means they didn't score any runs.
Yes.
Okay. So the Cubs had 16 runs, 21 hits. Do you know what the top highlight was that MLB was promoting?
What?
A Shohei Ohtani leadoff single. That was the top highlight that MLB was promoting.
Of a 16-0 loss.
What? I'm sorry. Like, and MLB, people were tweeting at MLB like, come on, this is ridiculous. Like, you would, like, someone tweeted out like, oh, let me go look at the highlights of the game. Let's see what the highlights. First highlight. Oh, leadoff single by Ohtani. Lead to a run. What is this?
What was it, the part of the highlight reel for that game? So it's probably like the first thing that happened, right?
But it said top highlights.
Okay.
The first one, like they were promoting. Like it didn't have F stuff in order. It just had the top highlight, Ohtani single. I'm like, what? So MLB was getting roasted for that even more. So yeah, MLB and Ohtani didn't have like a home run for like a week. And you could tell that MLB was starting to get a little bit like, come on, like do something. So, that's their golden child. Obviously, he's fantastic, but MLB needs to do a little bit better and not go like full Patrick Mahomes NFL type stuff here. But you want to talk about the Yankees anymore? Before, not the topic that we're going to talk about later, but like anything else with the Yankees?
Judge continuing to kill it.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
I think in the last 162 games, he's hit 63 home runs. He's leading the majors right now with a .384 average. And I think he's got a 1.3 or 1., like at least above a 1.25 OPS.
Yeah.
So he's been starting on fire this year, as opposed to last year when we started off super cold. So I'm hoping that he'll just continue it this year and not like, in June, just all of a sudden like,
yeah,
not hit anything. He seems to maybe have streaks like that sometimes, but Goldschmidt, he's been hitting as well. Volpe, Ben Rice in that leadoff.
Yeah, Ben Rice. He got that home run rod from him last night or the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also went like 4 for 4 for 5 or something like that. He almost had 5 for 5. He would have rocket, but it was golfed up by the first baseman.
Yeah. Yeah, no complaints about the offense. Pitching, Freed's been great. The others are kind of just inconsistent, but hopefully they'll be getting Clark Schmidt back soon.
Yeah.
And that'll stabilize the rotation a bit. But that's all I got on my end so far. How about them Phillies?
So I want to make a comment about Judge. We've watched MLB Network a little bit over the last week, and it seems like they try to compare everyone to Aaron Judge. Like, oh, Carson Kelly is Aaron Judge. I'm like, Carson Kelly's having a great start to the season. We cannot, like, I hate when MLB does this, where they, oh, he's great. He's just as good as Aaron Judge. No, he's not. He's having a great start to the season. You don't need to overhype it, because then everyone's like, oh, yeah, Carson Kelly, like, he's the next Aaron. Carson Kelly is not the next Aaron Judge. Just shut up.
Well, they all do that. It's like, oh, Mitchell Parker's going to be the next Nolan Ryan or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then they had Intentional Talk had, what was it? They were like, oh, is Perdomo for the Orioles, is he the best shortstop in the game? We're like, what? Doesn't make any sense.
I thought they said Lindor at first.
Oh, they did?
Or maybe.
I thought it was Perdomo for not even, not even, not the. the Orioles, the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, he's a good shortstop, but you have Bobby Witt, Gunnar Henderson, Francisco Lindor, Trey Turner. Like, there are great shortstops in this league. Perdomo's not on that level yet.
No.
Like, no. It's just, like, I know they need talking points. I know they need overhype. I know it's their job to stay relevant.
But... And they always say it right before commercial break.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is this guy?
Yeah. Like, because they hook you in, and then you got to stay for the commercials, and then they'll hear the opinion, which they probably won't agree with.
I know it's all about marketing, but it just is really annoying. So the Phils. So obviously they're in first place. They're not in first place. Sorry. That's not even obvious. Wow. They're doing okay. A lot of people are frustrated with the offense, but right now they're they got 9 runs against the Marlins. They had 7 runs last night. The offense is starting to, hopefully this clicks them into, you know, moving forward. Some of their players like Marsh and Bohm haven't been hitting, but they're starting to slowly hit. Marsh still doesn't have a hit in April and he just got hurt. Aaron Nola and the bullpen probably have been the other two biggest talking points, because the bullpen has been shaky and has, I think, top 7 ERA, bullpen ERA in baseball. But Aaron Nola is 0-4, and he has never gone 0-4 in any stretch during his career. So that's concerning. His fastball is reaching 91, middle of the plate. Like, I've always been a Nola believer. Hopefully it's something mechanical and they can fix it, because I don't think he's getting velocity back. I don't think he's going to be throwing 94, 93, 94 like he used to. So him throwing, also is cold too when he's been pitching. And he's a warm weather pitcher. That's just what he does. So hopefully he can find something where he can get maybe a tick or two of velocity back, but hopefully it's mechanical. You know, the Phillies they're doing okay. They're winning the games that they should. They lost, you know, the Giants. They split the Giants 2-2. And the Giants seem to be a pretty good team so far. You know, they took 2 or 3 from the Dodgers, but then they lost 2 or 3 of the Cardinals, who are better than we thought they'd be. And they lost 2 or 3 to the Braves, but the Braves needed to win some games. Like, that was almost desperation for them to win games. So just timing of it all, yeah. Like, they'll be fine. You know, I don't think the Phillies are the best team in baseball. I don't think they will be this season either, but I think they'll be completely fine. Unless they have starting to have injuries, they have too much talent on this team for it to just be like a 500 team. You know, they'll figure it out. I don't think they get into a lull. They'll get into a lull for a couple games, but they just have too much talent for them to be that type of team.
I thought I saw something interesting the other day where Nola seems to have on and off years every other year. So it's like 1 year he'll have like a 3 ERA, then he jumps up to a 4, and then he goes back down to 3, and then it's like a 4.5. It's kind of like he's not the most consistent pitcher year after year.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's on, he could be one of the best pitchers in baseball, but he struggled. Like, at the beginning of this year, he has his struggles too.
Yeah. So it wasn't last night. His previous start, he had 1 bad inning against the Giants, and then he pretty much locked in for 4 or 5 innings, but then lost control. You know, he had like 7 or 8 strikeouts. So, like, after 1 bad inning where he allowed 4 or 5 runs in the first inning. So he really just needs to, I don't know. He gives up the long ball too much, but there's just something mechanical with him. Like, yeah, he's this would be like last year. He gave up a lot of home runs. He gave up 30 home runs, which led the league. Mm-hmm. The year before, 32. So he's been giving up the long ball, but he did have 3.57, 14-8. So like, and those numbers, that ERA, is I think most of the earned runs came on home runs. Like, they didn't come in from other times. They came in mostly when they were 3-run shots. Something like that. Like, I remember one was, he had a 1-2 count and just hung a curveball and boom, there was a 3-0 game. But he had 7 shutout innings during that. So he's very inconsistent in that. But I've always been a Nola believer. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll figure something out. Do I think that he's cooked? You know, like, oh, this is the downturn of Aaron Nola. I don't think that. But, you know, hopefully there's something mechanical. This is the first time where I'm actually like, somewhat concerned. Like, I'm raising a concern about Nola. And people have, some friends have been like, oh, you like Nola too much. You know, he's not a good start. He's like the fifth best starter on the team. I'm like, no, I don't think that Nola is ace material anymore, but I still think he's a very good pitcher. Yeah.
He reminds me a bit of Rodon, because Rodon, at least since I've started watching him, he has terrible first inning numbers. Like, yeah. Almost like a 5 or 6 ERA. But after that, it's just, he needs to get out of the first inning. I guess it's just the rust shaking off and trying to get into a groove. It sounds kind of like what Nola does sometimes too. It's just first inning isn't all, maybe he struggles a little bit depending on the game, but after that, he's okay.
Yeah.
Once he gets past the first inning, first couple of innings.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we got a lot more to talk about, but we're going to transition. Before we get into the junk baller section, we're going to transition into, you know, normally we do a fun fact or a top five. We're going to switch it up and do some trivia. We've done this before, but we're going to do some trivia now. And Kev's going to quiz me on some trivia. Mm. I don't know what this is. I don't know what the questions are, but...
Well, at first I was just going to ask the one. Maybe I still will, but I just chose to do like a five or just like five names of something.
Okay.
Sweet. So...
test my knowledge.
I mean, I don't know how accurate this is. I tried to go through the whole list just as a disclaimer, but I think you'll be able to get these.
Okay.
Name, since 1979.
Okay.
Name five Phillies managers who are also played for the Phillies.
That also played for the Phillies?
Yes.
Okay, Ryan Sandberg.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Bowa.
Mm-hmm.
Francona didn't play for the Phillies. Okay, I'm trying to name all the managers. We got Kapler didn't play for the Phillies. No. Okay. Oh God. McCannon? Not McCannon. Oh God, what's his freaking name? All right. Manuel didn't play. Francona, no. Dallas Green? No. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
McGraw?
No.
No, he didn't manage. No, he was a coach. No. How many do I got? Three?
You got Sandberg, you got Bowa, you got Dallas Green.
Gosh, man. The late 90s, or the late 80s, early 90s is very fuzzy to me with it.
Do you want a hint?
Yeah.
One of them was also a longtime coach for the Phillies.
Oh my goodness gracious. Oh, nope, that's not, he wasn't a manager. Was it Vukovic?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He was third base coach eventually, but yeah. All right, I got four. Oh boy.
This one is difficult, but he was a manager for the Phillies in the 2000s.
The 2000s. All right, Francona was, then it was Bowa, then it was Manuel, then... after Manuel, it was Sandberg. No, Sandberg. It wasn't McCannon. What's his freaking name? He was old white guy that just was so boring. He was so, it wasn't Pete. I know. Okay. As soon as you say it, it's something Mick or something like that. No, it's not.
No. This is a tough one because he was an interim manager.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. It was like
Gary
2015.
Varsho.
What?
Gary Varsho?
No.
He was the interim manager after Bowa was fired.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. I don't
know. That was
no,
the one,
no
like,
clue.
Vague one.
How many games did he... I don't even remember
two.
Him. Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Like right. Counts.
I feel pretty good getting the 4 out of 5.
Yeah,
then.
No,
yeah.
You did well.
Yeah.
You did well.
Gosh.
Now, there was a fun fact I did want to bring up because I wasn't aware of this.
Let's do it.
Well, let's see if maybe you have any, if you're aware of it.
Okay.
The Phillies were known by a different name for 2 years in the 40s. They were called the Philadelphia Blue Jays.
I believe I was.
Yeah.
But I can't tell me the reason why. Because I think I know why they're... Actually, I don't know. I should know this.
I'm not entirely sure either, honestly. I've been trying to look for good answers to that. But there was a guy... William Cox purchased the ball club in 1943. And when he was fired after betting on the the club and being banned from baseball, that's when Bob Carpenter took over the team.
Okay.
So he wanted to get some attendance in the ballpark because they weren't doing so well.
Yeah.
Big surprise, right?
Phillies. Yeah. Phillies.
He changed the team's nickname to the Blue Jays, and the name didn't stick. Fans hated it, and it was gone after just two seasons.
Philadelphia hating the Blue Jays? Big surprise.
I got to look into that more. I have no idea why.
I think I've heard something Blue similar.
Jays.
Well, I mean, the Blue Jays are now in Toronto, so was it the same guy that took to the Toronto Blue Jays?
I don't know. I had to look into the Blue Jays lore now. Philadelphia Blue Jays lore. Gosh. Didn't know there was a thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, Phillies are they're one of the oldest franchises. I think they're the fifth oldest, I think. So, you know, we've been around for a while. You know, it's, you know, we had the Philadelphia Athletics, we had the Phillies. Like, it's a lot going on in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
For baseball.
And even like ballparks too, like the Baker Bowl, Shad Park, Connie Mack.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to find this out now.
Speaking of Phillies, I really have becoming a bigger fan of the cream Phillies jerseys. I really think that they are pretty, with the blue accent, because it's a different blue. I just really like them.
So the Blue Jays were chosen by management, just told, because it was a fan submission who received a $100 war bond as compensation. This was during World War II.
Oh. Okay.
The Phillies would later claim in the 2000s that the Blue Jays moniker was never official. However, news reports in 1944 note that Phillies management said that the Blue Jays name was an official additional nickname, meaning that the team had two official nicknames simultaneously, the Phillies and the Blue Jays.
Yeah, it's dumb.
It's straight dumb.
That's pretty dumb.
Well, I guess when you're not going off to war, you're just trying to find stuff to do.
Yeah. I don't know. All right, so that was fun. That was a fun segment. Before we move on to the junk baller section, where we have a couple topics we want to discuss, you're wearing your Jersey Diner hat again. Yes. I love it.
And you're wearing your unique cap as well.
Yeah, I recently bought a if you know the Sandlot, you know, L7 weenie, but it's in the shape of an L7 and the shape is hot dogs. So I really like the hat. Some people don't get the hat, but I love it. But also I'm wearing a jersey that I bought. And I haven't bought a jersey, I think, in 6 months, 6 or 7 months. I know, long time for me. But I've been collecting them. And I realized that I've always wanted this jersey, specifically this jersey, ever since he came into the league. I finally got it, found it on eBay for cheap, and it's great. I love it. Now, I finally got my purple Nolan Arenado jersey, you know. But as I told you, we have been making fun of his last name. We don't really say Arenado. We say Nolan Arenado. And it's, for some reason, it's just been in my head the entire time. But
you're welcome.
Yeah, I like this jersey a lot. I think it's a good – I think the purple Rockies jerseys are pretty good jerseys.
They're one of the few things that are good about Colorado, the Rockies.
Yeah, but he's not even on the team anymore. They traded him away and gave the Cardinals money.
Yep.
You think the Cardinals are going to be like, yes, 1,000 times yes. Like, we can't agree to that faster. Come on. Yeah, hopefully he's with the Cardinals obviously are doing a little bit better, but, you know, it would be interesting to see if he gets traded and if he does well, if he gets traded to a different team. Yeah. But let's move into our junk ball section where... Before we talk about torpedo bats.
Before we talk about torpedo bats.
Or do you want to talk about them first? Because they're kind of a one-hit wonder.
What do you want to talk about?
You know
first?
What? Let's talk about the torpedo bats first before we go into the other couple things.
Okay.
So the torpedo bats were the talk of the town for 5 days, a week, maybe?
A little more than that, maybe more like 2 weeks.
Yeah. So why don't you explain what happened? Because all of a sudden, torpedo bats, they're not really a conversation piece anymore, like today's, because we're like, it's kind of lost its, like, it's had its moment.
So, one of the first series of the season, the Yankees played Milwaukee, and a couple of the players were using a new type of bat that was designed called the torpedo bat.
Torpedo.
And the Yankees absolutely demolished Milwaukee for most of that series.
Yeah.
I think Aaron Judge, even though he wasn't using this bat, hit 3 home runs. But like there was other guys like Volpe and Jazz Chisholm who were, you know, hitting home runs with ease with this new bat. So what is it about? So if you haven't seen these torpedo bats yet, they're essentially these bats are designed where it's like elongated, the barrel's elongated at the end. So it's kind of like a weird shape, like a torpedo, where like the handle's kind of like, you know, standard, the elongated, and then you have like this big bulge at the end of it. Kind of, it almost looks like a cartoon, like a cartoon bat, right?
Yeah.
They were pretty much optimized by redistributing the weight from the end of the bat toward about 6 or 7 inches below its end. With that, the effect was harder hits and faster bat speed. And this was shown in the analytical side of things when they studied it. So Volpe, Bellinger, and Austin Wells, these are all guys that have been using it. Their bat speed has gone up by about between 1.4 and 2 miles an hour. That's not a small difference.
That's not small. That's a big difference.
That's a huge difference with the wave at the bat. And then Rice was another person who's been using it as well, and he's been, you know, super hot.
Yep.
With the bat.
That Ben Rice, he's so hot right now.
Yeah.
Zoolander reference.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
I get it.
He didn't laugh at all. I hope someone laughed at that joke.
And it adds more muscle, so there's more pop. And at first, there's people who weren't totally happy with it. But, you know, as it became clear that other teams in baseball could be using this bat, like, hey, well, they're using it too. So I think Rhys Hoskins has the bat now. Did he talk about wanting it? Or
I can't remember
it?
About like, Rhys, but I know that as soon as it happened, yeah. Everyone saw that game where the Yankees hit all the home runs,
yeah.
And all of a sudden baseball players were like, oh, that's legal? Okay, I'm going to go try that, because they saw results with it. I think Bohm, Stott, and I think Harper even put it in order for a couple of bats, because I'm not sure if it's Victus who designed it or not, but Victus is here in Pennsylvania, not too far from where we live. I think it's like 20-30 minutes from us.
Where is it?
I know, because my nephew got a bat from there. Victus location, it's in King of Prussia.
Oh,
so it was founded in Blackwood, New Jersey. Okay. Which is not that's about an hour from here. Hour and a half? Hour from here? Is that closer to New York?
Sorry, where in New Jersey?
Blackwood.
I don't know where that is.
Okay. But I know there's a Victus in King of Prussia with it. So they're getting around with it, but it started in 2012. Not too long ago. You know, it's not like Louisville Slugger and all those other bat companies. Like, this is a fairly new company. Now, I don't know if who developed the torpedo bat. Developed the torpedo. Because I know the analytic guy, it was developed by Aaron Leinhardt, a former MIT physicist and now coach for the Miami Marlins. He previously worked for a hitting analysis for the New York Yankees. But, you know, that's where he helped develop it. So he gave it to the bat companies and he was like, hey, or make this. Boom.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be working, even though it looks cartoonish as heck.
Yeah, it looks
it does look.
So you, from far away, you can't really tell. But when you get close up, you're like, oh, that's a little weird looking.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like a normal bat. It's not. But anyway, the main point is it was kind of a hot commodity for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And now talks have died down because we haven't really seen like a huge uptick in like home runs by any certain players.
Right.
So it's probably helping guys out minimum, like a decent amount, but we aren't seeing like what we thought we might see with like a steroid type era with the bats.
Yeah. I mean, you still have to make contact, right? It doesn't matter like how big your bat is or what your batting stance is. And I was telling you this when it first was happening, if it wasn't the Yankees doing this, I don't think it would have been as huge a deal at all.
No.
Like if it was like the A's or the White Sox, like the Rangers, someone like that, they're like, oh, that's cool. But yeah, once the Yankees are on top of something, it spreads like wildfire.
Actually, if the White Sox did it, I actually think people would notice, because if they had that many home runs, people are like, all right, what the heck is going on with the White Sox? They can't be that good. They just can't.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that I would say with that. But they, yeah, they suck.
Yeah. Well, and I think it also comes to the question of legality. Like, what should be a legal bat? Is it another type of substance that needs to be monitored more? Because I think, you know, with anything new, baseball is going to go right on that and change the rules a bit.
Yeah.
As to what is legally a bat and what you could use with it. Sort of like pine tar.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so we'll see. We'll monitor that this year. See if there's an increase in, like, they'll probably by the end of the year study, you know, the players' difference between when they use the stats versus with the torpedo bat, and there'll be so many analytics. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, next year there's a lot more people using torpedo bats that, you know, like, oh, we'll wait and see how the results are with it.
Maybe I should get some for my softball team.
Yeah, there you go. Torpedo that, softball bat.
Torpedo softball
bat. There you go. There you go. But yeah, that's what we wanted to cover, torpedo bats, even though it's kind of not the hot topic as much as more, but we wanted to cover it because we wanted to discuss it ourselves. But obviously it's 20 games in and there hasn't been a lot of history being made, but there is a decent amount of surprises for MLB this season. And I will say that the NL West is probably the biggest surprise, because four teams could be in first place in any division in baseball other than their division. But San Diego Padres are 15-5. Dodgers are 15-6. The Giants are 13-7. And the Diamondbacks are 12-8. And then you have the Colorado Rockies at 3-15. But I don't think anyone expected, one, I don't think that they expected the Giants to be this good, 13-7 to start off. And I don't think anyone expected the Padres to be this good to start off. You know, Padres are 12-1 at home. They haven't played a lot of games away, so that helps them out. But still, 12-1 at home to start the season, that's against the Braves to start off the season. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I think that's my biggest surprise in baseball so far. You know, did you expect the Padres to be this good?
I expected them to be good. I think they just got off to a hot start. Baseball's a long season.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my surprise the opposite way was the Braves, just like playing absolutely terrible baseball, 2-11 away.
Yeah. Yep.
And we were picking them. We were touting them as like, you know, oh, they could be this dangerous team. You know, they could compete against the Dodgers when they're hot. They are bouncing back a little bit, I think, after just getting off to such a terrible start. But there's also the stats of like teams that start off that badly don't make the playoffs either.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they make the playoffs, I think they were 0-7, I believe, to start the season. I believe.
Yeah.
I think no team started 0-7 and made the playoffs ever.
Yeah.
If I was a betting person, which I'm not, I have never made a bet money wise, the Atlanta Braves would make the playoffs, in my opinion. Like, they're getting Acuna back. They're going to get Strider back. Like, they're getting players. But obviously, they lost Profar because of this PED thing. Wow, that's kind of been lost in the shuffle. There's been so much going on. Yeah. Like, they signed a 3-year, $39 million contract, I think, and then he gets suspended 80 days for PED. So it was a rough opening week for the Braves.
Yeah.
With everything that happened. But, you know, they're 6.5 games back of the division right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to turn it around. They're not going to be this bad of a team. Like, if they are, you know, if they're below 500 at the All-Star break, then I'd be concerned. I'd be like, yeah, this is kind of stuff. But
they also started the season against the Padres and the Dodgers.
Yes. Yeah.
So, like I said earlier, baseball's a long season.
Yeah. They've played 13 games against teams that are above 500. That's a lot of games.
Yeah.
Then they've only played 20. 13 of your 20 games have been over teams 500. They've played 19. 13 of your 19, that's a lot of games. Also, you were making fun of me for my Pittsburgh Pirates being a 500 team,
yeah.
And they were like the first team to have their first three losses by walk off,
and not just by walk off, by walk off to the Marlins.
Yes. Well, Bednar got sent down, And since then, they've been a 500 team.
They've recalled him.
They have?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. He just needed to go down, fix it. But, you know, they've been a 500 team since. Okay? So it's just a little bit of a rough start for the Pirates. But Kev was coming at me with it, and he's like, oh, you were still thinking Pirates are going to be a good team? And I'm like, yeah, it's early. You know, do I think the Pirates are a great team? No, I don't. But I didn't think that division would be super tough. But it's right now, everyone's kind of even. The Cubs are doing a little bit better than I expected. You know, their offense looks fantastic. I did not expect their offense to be this high-powered so far. But I agree, the Braves being... That's a big surprise with how bad they are.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not super surprised, but like a little bit surprised, the Orioles being below 500. That's a little bit surprising.
It's a little bit. I think I chose them the before the beginning of the year sort of like middle of the road, and so far that's kind of how they've been playing.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be a better than 500 team this year.
Yeah.
But they just need to get it together.
Yeah. Like, the Blue Jays are 12-8. Like, that's, like, we thought the Blue Jays would be a little more inconsistent, but, you know, maybe they're putting it together. That division is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, the Tampa Bay Rays are 8-12, and they're the last place.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
They've only played 3 games away so far this year, which is nuts. The Rays.
Wow.
And they're 0-3.
Yeah. Well, that technically they've played every game away because they're playing at Steinbrenner Field. So.
True.
But no surprise here, the White Sox and Colorado Rockies suck. Didn't expect the Rockies to actually be worse than the White Sox.
The White Sox did take 2 or 3 from the Red Sox last week.
Yeah, that was a funny that was a funny tweet that they were talking about on the Red Sox radio or broadcast. They were struggling a little bit, and they're like, "Ah, oh, this White Sox can't come soon enough. This is a great time to play the White Sox so we can get on track." And then they lose 2 or 3 to the White Sox. It was we saw the walk off off Chapman that the White Sox had, which was a guy that they traded. In the Chris, I believe it was either the Chris Sale or Crochet, it was a Crochet deal. So I was kind of full circle with it happening. You know, Kansas City's not off to a great start. They're 8-14. That's a little bit surprising.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but going back to the Rockies. Rockies have been so bad that they've actually fired their hitting coach. The Colorado Rockies, which play in the most hitter-friendly ballpark because of their altitude, had to fire their hitting coach because they have scored only 52 runs this season in 18 games. That's pathetic.
They have a minus 51 run differential,
which is the worst in baseball
by a lot.
Yeah, the next closest is the White Sox, but that's a negative 29.
Yeah.
So it's Rockies have been absolutely horrible,
and they're 1-11 on the road.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
I wonder when the Rockies and the White Sox are going to play each other. We're going to have to mark our calendar for that.
Yeah, like will we have two teams not reach 50 wins?
It's possible. The White Sox so far seem to be doing a bit better than the Rockies are.
Yeah,
at least they won a series.
Yeah,
Rockies don't have anything right now.
Yeah, but
they're playing 4th of July weekend in. In Colorado.
Pull out the barbecue. Let's watch some Rockies versus White Sox.
Yeah, so let's see. Tickets for that game. They're not too bad. Tickets as low as $36, $37. It is 4th of July weekend.
Where is it? In Colorado?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's where I'd go.
But tickets as low as $12 for the Sunday game at 3:10.
Yeah. So. Is that actually 4th of July? Is that Sunday?
No. Friday's the 4th of July this year.
Okay.
But those tickets are $36.
Gotcha.
Right now.
4th of July on a Friday. That's pretty prime.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great day. Yeah. I love it. Love it. 4th of July is one of my favorite holidays, if not my favorite. I think I switch it up. But 4th of July on a Friday, that's great. You got the fireworks. You don't have to go to bed early to wake up to work tomorrow. You got the weekend. Pretty much a 3-day weekend of just fireworks and celebration. That's a great weekend, America.
So that means that next year's is going to be on a Saturday. So that,
which is also good.
Yeah, the 250th.
There we go. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Any other surprises for you?
There wasn't too much for me, honestly. It's still early, so I don't want to like jump on the bandwagon of too many surprises right now.
Just the surprise starts. Like Juan Soto hasn't got off to a great start. You know, he got cheered like Trey Turner did because he's come up not clutch in-game situations.
I thought he got like a game tying hit the other night.
Yeah, after they cheered him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
maybe it's like a boom thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll.
Yeah.
The Giants are kind of a surprise.
Yeah, I mentioned that a little bit. They're winning by like kind of like how the Cardinals used to win like back in the day, where like fielding, base running, all those like small things that are, they seem to be taking the extra base. They seem to be making the smart play. You know, they don't have any superstar player that's going to be like an MVP level. Although Jung Ho Lee? Is that his name? It's Lee, the outfielder, is leading the league in OPS and doubles, and he's been having a fantastic. He's a fun player to watch, but that NL West is ridiculous right now. They're going to be beating up on each other for next 130 plus games.
And the Rockies.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to.
That's really going to inflate these records.
Yeah. It's kind of like how last year everyone, like in the NL, the AL Central, like their record against everyone except the White Sox was like 500.
Yeah.
But then everyone playing the White Sox was way above 500.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It must be nice to have a really bad team in your division.
Yeah.
It's been a while since the AL East has had that.
Yeah. So I think the Marlins will slowly get down to that level. They started off at 500, but I think they'll eventually slowly dip into lower level in the last place team. But yeah, why don't we end it there with our junk baller section? There's plenty we could talk about, but that's good enough for the podcast today.
Yeah.
So let's close with a hot take. So I had mentioned the Orioles kind of being a little bit of a surprise being below 500, mostly because they have a lot of talent on that team, but they've lost a lot of talent in pitching. They lost Corbin Burns in the offseason to Arizona. Grayson Rodriguez is on the IL, and they have another pitcher on the IL for starting pitching. And they're relying on Charlie Morton and some other guys that just aren't consistent right now. They have Charlie Morton and Dean Kremer as their like 1-2 guys, and that's not good. It's just not good. So I think this is my hot take. It's a little spicy. I think that the Orioles, you know, they have a lot of young talent on that team. You know, they got Gunnar Henderson, they got Allie Rutschman, Jackson Holliday, Mateo, Jordan Westberg, Heston Kjerstad. A lot of guys, they're expendable because they are young and they have a lot of them. I think they're going to trade either Jackson Holliday or Heston Kjerstad for one of the starting pitchers for the Seattle Mariners, because the Seattle Mariners suck at offense, don't they? Mm-hmm. But they have a surplus of pitching. They have Luis Castillo. They got Logan Gilbert. They got Bryce Miller. And they have... Brian Wu. All those guys supposed to be pretty good, and they're hopefully getting back George Kirby soon. I could see them trading. I don't think they're going to trade Gilbert, but I could see them trading one of those guys, Kirby, Miller, or Wu, to the Orioles for Kjerstad or Gunnar Henderson. Not Henderson, Jackson Holliday. They're not trading Gunnar. No, Gunnar's there for a while. But I could see it, you know, especially if Jackson Holliday is a little bit just not consistent. You know, he's been decent this year, but, you know, he got off to a rough start last year. So it'd be interesting to see if the Orioles make a trade and trade one of their young, already major league level players to go get a major league level pitcher, because their pitching has been atrocious. So that's my hot take.
You know what? I don't think it's that spicy.
You don't think it's that spicy?
I don't think so. And
you would possibly trade Jackson Holliday?
Out of all the players that they have,
yeah,
he would be the one, I think.
Because he's the biggest name, other than Gunnar and Adley.
Yeah. Yeah, but like Adley and Gunnar and the others have like established themselves.
Yeah.
Jackson Holliday, you're still not quite sure what you're going to get from him yet.
Yeah.
He's a little more expendable than the other guys are.
Yeah.
And pitching is a huge need for Baltimore, especially now with the news of Rodriguez getting a second opinion on his shoulder.
Oh, really? Yes. I missed that. Oof.
Yeah. So With them getting off to the slow start, I mean, again, we don't know what things are going to look like in July. But if things are going to continue the way that they have been, Baltimore, I could see Baltimore train away a bat or two to get some starting pitching.
Yeah. So going back to them losing Corbin Burns, I want to add a little nugget to this. There were reports, you know, he signed 6 years, 210 with the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. There were reports that he got offered 180 for 4 years from the Orioles.
Mm.
Like in that range, 180, for, like it was about this, like it was like 180 for like five or something like that. Like he got offered more per year to be with the Orioles.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't enough because the Diamondbacks are where his home is. So I remember we were like, oh, they didn't offer him enough money. And I'm like, no, the Orioles actually offered him more money with it. Like there was a report and we're like, yeah, they offered him more money and he still just went home. So it's kind of, my dad said a little bit ago, like kind of seems like the Orioles kind of missed their window. Like, even though they have a lot of young talent, but they're pitching because they're gonna have to start paying the guys.
Yeah,
like they're gonna have to pay Adley soon. They're gonna have to pay Gunner soon too because he's just gonna get more and more. So you have those guys. That's gonna be probably $600 million right there with those two, minimum. And they have no pitching.
Yeah,
there's no pitching.
Yeah,
whatsoever. If Grayson's out for a year, this is a wasted year with all that talent on the offense.
Yeah,
it's really a shame. It really is.
Yeah.
Like obviously that division is tough, but that'd be a wasted year for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not totally closed yet, but they gotta get the pitching in.
Yeah.
If they do, then that window's gonna slam shut pretty quickly. And those starters, those hitters, that young talent's not gonna stick around for that.
Yeah.
I don't think. Especially like you said, when they need to pay them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so. See if that hot take happens. It might happen.
Maybe. Think it might.
Yeah. It could. It could.
I can at least be open to the possibility. I think it's a very good possibility that they're going to trade for some pitching.
Yeah, if they're above 500, I would agree. Yeah. But say if they're struggling, because that the AL is kind of like NL has more talent in than the AL.
Yeah.
But like if you have, you know, if they're hovering below 500, they're not hovering around like around 500. They're hovering like 10 games below. I don't think they're going to trade.
I don't think they're going to do that bad.
You don't think so?
10 games below 500?
So what if the Red Sox and Blue Jays just kind of a little bit better this year just because they have a little bit more pitching?
There's three wild card teams.
Yeah. You have the Tigers, you have the Guardians, and then you also have the Rangers. I think the AL West is going to be bad the rest of the year. Like the Angels are 10-9. That's not going to continue.
No, it's
the Mariners cannot hit for anything.
Yeah.
And then the Astros have been really inconsistent.
Yeah.
With it. And the Athletics, they might surprise people, but their pitching also sucks.
Yeah.
Other than Seve. Seve's actually had a decent start this year. I love it. I love seeing Seve good. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
It's a hot take. And that's where we're going to end it. So thank you for listening. And we'll catch you next time.